the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races. Some horse health today with Dr. Allday just off, and earlier Brad Cox, and much more. A little Monmouth stop and Will Rogers, and now Andy Serling joining us from the New York Racing Association, and we've got the green light to commence the Belmont season. Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Good.
You there?
Very good. Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm good.
I fell back to sleep after I talked to you earlier. I just wanted to know. I rested after the show.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm ready now. I'm really fully prepared. It's hard to sleep all night when I know I'm going to be on your show, you know? Because it's hard.
Stop.
Hard not to be really excited, you know? And I think I probably all your guests go through this. You know, the night, turns of the night before their appearance in your show is a rough night to get through. Probably like the way actors feel when the Oscars are coming and they're up for an award.
Yeah, I there's no doubt. I hear that all the time.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, there's a lot of apprehension, and because of course I've got
it's exciting. Anyway,
I've got a
on the contrary, it's excitement for
there you go.
Being in such in the spotlight as we are. Yeah.
Well, I do.
Terrific news that we're going to be back in action the beginning of June. So. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, 4 days after the announcement, the enthusiasm isn't quite as much on the surface as it was. But it's funny, I didn't hear it, but like suddenly my phone just started blowing up with everybody saying the same thing to me on Saturday morning. So that was nice. And it's just so hard when you don't have a date, you know what I mean? Especially in our lives, right? We're so sort of date focused, you know what I mean? You know, especially in racing. Racing is something where you're always pointing somewhere, right? If you have a horse that's a lower level claimer, you're still pointing to a race coming up on X day, right? And obviously, you know, all the way to the top. And especially now with the Kentucky Derby and all that stuff, and just have sort of everything, you know, be thrown the way it's been. And then we were sort of the last cog in the major racetracks to know when, in fact, we'd be getting going. And, you know, we're ready to go. So. We're thrilled with that. We're thrilled with the announcement in general. And so it looks like back to Belmont and followed by Saratoga. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. You know, this is always a great time of the year. It's just starting a little later. But, you know, I'm just thrilled to be running. And you saw how good the racing was at Churchill this weekend. I think there's every reason to expect that Churchill and Belmont should have some really good racing, all of which will be showing on Fox. You know, pretty much not. I'm sure every race won't appear, but the vast, vast, vast majority of races from Belmont and Churchill will be on Fox throughout the meet heading towards Saratoga.
That's tremendous. And in light of, frankly, I know miffed some people about accessibility of the Churchill broadcasting. The timing of it was really advantageous, because it gives people that have been looking for a place to watch Churchill, they'll be able to have it. Because I mean, Fox has got to be in that's every household, right?
Household. 40 million homes. I mean, we're on Fox FS1 a lot, also FS2 when we weren't on FS1. I mean, my mom, who has as you know basic a cable package you could have in Saratoga, because she doesn't watch sports. She's she has Netflix, and she watches things. She doesn't have great TV needs, you know, she gets FS1, so she was able to watch. So, yeah, I mean, if she has it, I think a lot of people do.
Oh, that's great. We talked on Friday in advance of the weekend, and since we don't have probably not until this afternoon or tomorrow is what Pat McKenna had suggested in terms of the finalization of the Belmont condition book and the stakes schedule. We'll wait for that to unfold. The racing
didn't give
at Churchill
release over the show some pertinent private stuff.
Not, I mean, other than, you know, when to
have that guy on.
Well, he's fun to have on. Well, he wanted to thank. I don't blame him. You know, he wanted to take the opportunity too to thank everybody that was, you know, that was involved. Made this happen, and you know,
Pat deserves some thanks.
Oh yeah,
we're very lucky to have him.
Well,
we are.
Well, I said to him, you know, I made the suggestion to him that, you know, the crush of media demands. I mean, and the constant barrage. You know, frankly, asking the same question that nobody had the answer was the same answer, and was going to be the same answer until it wasn't.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're glad that people care and are interested. But, you know, I mean, Pat has the right temperament for that. I do not. I don't think you do either. I, the least, you in the middle somewhere. But Pat has the right temperament of patience for people. You know, he's very patient. He's got a good sense of humor. And, you know, he's a pretty easygoing guy. So, but he, you know, he understands that stuff at a high level. But yeah, it's a little hard. You know, it's just the same conversation, right, that I've had with the landlord I have in Saratoga, which is, you know, there's just no new story to tell you. Nobody's hiding anything. I think that's the other thing. People think that we know something that we don't know. You know, Pat was saying at me tonight, he'd say, like, people think people keep saying there's this rumor that this or that, and he'd say, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's just not true. And, of course, you know, I have a perspective because, you know, I grew up in Saratoga, so I've been around the circus for the better part of 50 years, and it's like the Saratoga rumor mill every summer, you know, that we're going to be starting on 4th of July, or, you know, we're going to be doing this, or we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be changing. And I've never once heard a rumor in Saratoga during the meet. And this is going back, I mean, I'm not sure I didn't know more Naira stuff before I worked in Naira than I do now, because now I almost don't want to know, you know. I like it when people ask me things and I can not lie and say them. I just don't know. It's above my pay grade, thankfully. But I've never really once heard a rumor that was true. They'll tell us something. I've been with Dave when somebody's, O'Rourke and somebody, like, Summer said something to us. I hear you're going to. And Dave will look at them and say, that's never even been discussed. Like, so it's great that people are so engaged, and I think people feel that they have this, you know, they have this connection. I mean, it's a great thing. But I just wish that people would listen to rumors a little less, you know?
Well, and especially in this environment where, you know, the earlier that was all happening and you know, you and I have said it for weeks, essentially, and I said it to Joe Applebaum and to Pat repeatedly. There was not going to be anything to know until there was something to know, and it's
right.
A moving
we weren't
target.
Gonna hide it.
It's still a
we
moving
weren't
target.
We weren't looking to hide it. In fact, you know, it's information you want to get out, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like you want to hide it and say, well, we've known for a couple of weeks, we're starting a next date. We want people to be, you know, we're as excited by the news as anybody. So, you know, it's like all good news. You want to share good news, and there was no reason not to share it. Anyway, it's really good that we're running. And I hope that people understand that, you know, it's hard to be patient. It's as hard for us as it is for anybody, but it's not like, you know, obviously there's some things that you internalize, but that's not something we would internalize. Nobody has, right? I mean, what racetrack didn't? As soon as Churchill Downs knew when they could open, they said they wanted to open. You know, what tracks are withholding that information? As soon as, you know, Santa Anita knew, they announced it. So it's good. You know, it's nice to have the tracks running, and it's feeling like, you know, we're heading towards a sense of, you know, more normalcy, and at least in that respect. And I think everybody's feeling like that a little bit in life, that things are, if not opening up, closer to opening up, and, you know, everybody's relaxing a little bit more. And not to say that this isn't continuing to be a serious situation in general, but everybody has to take things very seriously because there's nothing more important than our health. But having said that, you know, you want to get your life started back again. I think everybody does.
Well, and the fact that we're this much closer to all of these executions, not that horse racing wasn't already uniquely qualified to continue, as has been demonstrated successfully. But it's also the fact that we're in so much of a better position to make some decisions is actually a reward for how seriously people took things.
Well, if you working on the backstretch in any capacity, it was life as usual, except you weren't preparing horses to run in the afternoon. But, you know, other than that, and so obviously maybe you're training a little bit differently, but it's still right. As you say, business as usual, you're running, right? You're running an operation. So, you know, it's not, there's not a lot for me to talk about as far as when we're going to be running race and stuff until it gets announced, but you know, we'll, it's just good to be back. You know, every race is interesting, you know? Yeah. Obviously we're excited to see some of the better horses. I mean, you know, it was really a year that Mike Carter was going to be as good as it's ever been. Right. So, you know, looking forward to those horses getting back running, horses like Performer, you know, for Shug. Can't wait to see that horse back. You know, he was such a promising horse last year and ended with a terrific race in Discovery. And, you know, he could be a real player in the division. And there are others. You know, there are other good. This is a year where it looks like the older handicap division could be a bit stronger. And maybe with the later start and such, maybe it'll encourage people to run a little bit more, you know.
Well, and the on that topic, we can visit some of the results. And by the way, don't let me forget to remind everybody. I did it on Twitter, but I want to alert everybody to the fundraiser, the T-shirt sale fundraiser that
the Naira store. Tough stuff to raise money for the backstretch. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I hope people can do anything they can. You know, and obviously we'll be opening up, but, you know, there are real needs back there. It's, you know, it's hard for people. And any, I think we all understand people that aren't able to give anything because they don't have enough themselves. But if you do, and you have a little extra, especially those of us that love racing, those of us that work in racing, if it wasn't for the people on the backstretch, I wouldn't have a job. It's as simple as that, you know. So, and I think, you know, it's important. And I think people do understand that, but it's important to remember that if we love the game, in any way, well, we wouldn't have the game we love without these people.
Very much. And if you go to the Naira store, Belmont Strong, obviously green, Saratoga Strong is in red, and all of the proceeds, everything above the cost of the shirt, is going directly to the Best, the Backstretch Employee Service Team, as well as the BCCA, the Belmont Child Care Association, and to the chaplaincy, the New York Division, Humberto Chavez's and Nick Karras and the team. They'll make very, very good use of the proceeds. And the shirts are cool. Andy, the results, to get to the division that was certainly showcased over the weekend, Monomoy Girls return. We talked to Brad Cox earlier. And then Bella Fina on Sunday, kind of improving her performance off of the return at Oaklawn. Bodes well. They're both going to have to step it up if they're going to be a threat to Midnight Bisou.
Well, I didn't see Bella Fina. She ran at Churchill. I mean, at Sandia.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't see her. What did she do? What did she do?
She won the Desert Stormer. Yeah, she won well.
Oh, okay. Desert Stormer.
90.
Well, it cost me a lot of money. Or Desert Stormer and Frank Lyons. They cost me a lot of money. Mr. Greeley had only won that sprint. Anyhow, I mean, it's great that Monomoy Girl is back, obviously. And I'm sure it was a big relief for Brad. And she obviously did what she had to do against an inferior field. And the sort of the second and third horses didn't show up at all, much to my chagrin. And, you know, you're running back of a year and a half layoff, so I think anybody who expected her to run her best race would be unrealistic. But this is not an easy division. So, you know, and I think it's important for people, you know, somebody said to me on Twitter, I don't understand, she easily handled Midnight Bisou as a three-year-old. That she did. Having said that, the Midnight Bisou that ran as a four-year-old and in her one race over in Saudi, not the Midnight Bisou that was running as a three-year-old. She's a significantly improved horse. So Monomoy Girl is going to have to prove that she's not only back, but she's improved off that three-year-old form. Assuming Midnight Bisou holds her form this year that she had last year and, you know, in February in Saudi. So if she can improve on that, then she can beat Midnight Bisou. But the Monomoy Girl of 2018, is not going to have an easy time handling the Midnight Bisou of 2019, to say the least. And I think Brad's well aware of that. I mean, Brad's a smart guy. You know, he's well aware of that. And, you know, when you mm-hmm. throw in, you know, Mike McCarthy's horse, CC, as well as Ollie's Candy and the tremendous race she ran in the fantasy, you know, and then, you know, you've got some fringe players like Street Band and Point of Honor, who ran third and fourth in that race. They're no slouches. I mean, I'm not saying they're as good as Midnight Visu, but, I mean, as Monomoy Girl or Midnight Visu even also, but they're not bums. And then you've got, you know, Chad Brown's horse, Dunbar Road, the Peter Brand horse, coming back this Saturday. I don't know where Garana is, and I'm not sure that she's necessarily, I don't know where she is and how far they expect her to go, even when she comes back. I have no idea. I haven't talked to Chad Brown about her since, I think, October. There are some good horses out there this year. And Monomoy Girl, you know, Monomoy Girl, the three-year-old group that she was beating, let's be fair, they weren't much, especially since Midnight Visu was okay. But she didn't turn into the Midnight Visu, the really good one, until 2019. You know, I mean, she was really good, but I mean the, you know, top racehorse that she was last year. So Monomoy Girl is not only going to have to improve on the race she ran on Saturday, but she's going to have to improve on her 2018 form. And I'm thrilled that she's back, and I can't wait to see them run. But it's going to be competitive. And I imagine Brad probably said just about as much.
He did. He did. And the one thing about it that he agreed, and I sort of tried to offer those kinds of provisos. The one thing that I did hear from him that we can't argue with, she's never been one to post gaudy figures. And he's confident that he said if she shows up in the FIPS, and the FIPS was the first target that he mentioned, you know, he's unsure right. about the timing. But he said, if she shows up in that kind of a spot, it's my declaration that she's ready to be successful in that spot. He thinks that she'll be up to, you know, the raising her game.
Okay. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, for what it's worth.
I wouldn't bet her. Again, you know, presuming she's against a couple of those, you know, top horses. But I also won't be surprised when I lose. I'm never surprised when I lose, but she's going to have to step it up. And I get it. I think, and I'm not trying to knock her. I'm not in any way. But she's going to have to step up her form, in my opinion, on that three-year-old form. And it's tough for a horse to come back off those kind of layoffs
yes.
and take that big improvement, given all the things she had. But maybe it'll happen. I hope it does, you know. Listen. The more good horses in that division, the better. And she's certainly a good horse. What else?
Let's look at. Let's see. Let's see what else. What else there was to discuss. There, you know, obviously having that that card come off the turf, kind of you know, sent things a little sideways. But you know, there were some good returns. In the, you know, in the multis, you know, one of the races we talked about, Andy, Friday going in, that 50,000 non-winners at two, and then the allowance that Ian Wilkes's filly won, four graces, those
right.
two races back to back.
I should have bet that race individually as opposed to just pick four, especially given I got beat at the wire in the last leg in that pick four, but, yeah, I mean, four graces came back and won. I know they retimed it, right? The original time they put up was inaccurate. Obviously, they didn't go 44 and a half, especially with the pace holding up. But four graces rebounded from not running well in her last start in Florida. But the horse that really ran well in there was the third finisher, Aurelia Garland. Is that her name?
Yes, Aurelia Garland.
The horse that Rebuchet has now that used to be Wesley Ward. And she was making her first start. She broke her maiden first out last spring, I think. I don't even think it was summer yet, at Belmont. And, I mean, it's hard when you have these head-ons of the breaks, but, you know, there's so many situations where, unfortunately, you don't get a pan shot at the break that you start to try to teach yourself and figure it out. It does seem pretty clear she got left. In fact, I meant to try to find out from Jose Ortiz that how badly he thought she got left in there. And Jose just sort of had no choice, and he found himself in the back of the pack. And obviously, based on her debut, she figured to be forward, which is not to say that, you know, they hadn't changed her running style a bit. I don't think they expected or wanted to be dead last. And Jose, you know, sort of did the right thing. He was dealt the hand he was, and then he sat in the back of the pack. And then, you know, he's saving ground, and then he you know, got forced to try to weave between horses and sort of stop and start in the stretch. And she was really running and ran well, very well to be third. Now, unfortunately, she's going to be 4-5 in all likelihood next time she runs. So from the betting perspective, that's gone. But I thought it was a promising effort from her. So we'll see what Aurelia Garland does going forward, as well as the winner of Fort Races.
Looking up and down here, too.
Little drive, come back and blow the brake and do no running thereafter.
Yep.
But the horse, Chimney, what's named Chimney Rock, that had been second to him.
And, yes.
And run
yes.
two good races, being second to Wesley Ward a bunch of times, one for three diamonds. Always happy to see Kurt Wycoff to do well. So that was nice. He texted me immediately after the race to gloat about her winning and saying what an idiot I was for not using her. or not liking her. I said, thanks. I got eliminated from the pick four. Go away. I'm glad you won. Wouldn't have mattered. I couldn't use the last winner anyway. Like to see Kurt do well. You know, certainly a big supporter of the game. Listen, you know, people need to win some races. Everybody does, right?
Everybody very much time. So. You know, there were a couple of efforts, in fact, that we could note, and I thought about I should really reach out to Tom Drury. You know, he took over that horse, Art Collector, and Bruce Lunsford moved him over.
He did.
He was 13-2.
He has very good trainer change switch numbers. He's one of the reasons I like that horse. I'm also not the biggest fan of the big favorite there, Toledo. So I don't know. How did he pay $15 or something there, $14 or $15?
This is one of the things that certainly has been point that's been driven home is the nice size. I mean, fields that have a nice size to them are
sure.
You know, it's they're in evidence. They're harder to win.
There's another factor that took place in there. And I think it's at least a good example on my side of the argument. So it's good for me to use it to back me up. Of getting too obsessed about wet tracks. I don't think it was unreasonable to say, hey, that horse really did improve last time. Maybe it was the wet track. And I believe that his two faster figs during career were on turf, right? So, but I think you could also have made a bit of an excuse for his one dirt race before that. So I think it's understandable that a lot of people looked at it and said, hey, maybe that horse just improved on a wet track last time. You know, how reasonable is to expect the horse to come back to that race on a dry track? And that's a very fair question. On the other hand, the horse did run the race. And to just assume that a young horse, you know, improved like that, and also knowing if he ran back to that last race, if you knew he was going to run his last race, what price would you have taken him in that spot? 8-5? Toledo was nearly as good as his last race was. So this was a race that was going to win in all likelihood if he ran his last race. And you end up getting 6-1. And all you had to basically say was, you know, I trust his last race. But I don't think it was a wet track. It's one thing to take 5-2 on that. It's another thing to get 6-1, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually looking this up. What was his number? He got an 84, so he 84. Got close to the last number. And it's funny, the other horses kind of ran back to their numbers. They just weren't good enough. And that's essentially what happened. I like to see Bruce have a good horse. He's a nice guy.
He's got nice silks. I love those.
Great silks.
The black jacket and the Charisse.
He had Mad Cat.
First Samurai. And First Samurai.
Right. First Samurai.
With Lansdowne Robbins.
Probably the last top horse he had, right?
Well, he had that nice one with Barbara Minchell. That horse with Barbara Minchell. Was it last summer or the summer before?
Oh, the filly that ran that huge race to Schuylerville and then got hurt and she came back in the Beaumont.
Yes.
Right? Just wasn't the same. Yeah, she ran huge in the Schuylerville. Yeah, that was tough. She really ran well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's given a number of horses to Barbara Minchell, and I've got to look up that filly's name because it's It's absolutely going to make me nuts if I... There we go. Bruce Lunsford, and here it is. The magic winner is... Well, disappeared.
It's a long name.
Come
right?
on. I do not remember. You know, she had that was a big summer for her. She had the other, she had that other stake winner too. That with the Hooties people. In fact, that maybe the Hooties people were involved in that horse too. I can't remember.
I mean, why don't you go to Wikipedia and Google the style, look up the Skylerville, or you're not really because you're in Greenwich. So there's like that Skylerville Greenwich rivalry. So you can't really until we have the Greenwich.
Well, I do. I will say that every. Well, every fakakta town in and around Saratoga has got a day, and for some reason Greenwich does not, and it's
them.
Well, you got the Troy. Now you got the Clifton
fakakta
Park
town, the home of RPI.
yeah, can I say? Although I did get my eyesight was saved in Troy. I can't say that or
yeah,
improved
I mean,
in Troy.
You're going to compare
at,
Troy and Greenwich? That seems a bit of a stretch.
No, I'm nice not good. Well, how does Schuylerville you know, qualifies for the start of the season stake?
It's closer. It's basically the home of the Saratoga Battlegrounds, right? Is there a Battlegrounds in Saratoga or in Schuylerville?
It's in that weird. It's in that weird
sort of
spot east of the lake.
I don't
it's in a funny spot. Well, before we get too far afield, let me.
We do.
Dream It Is. I got to make room for Dream It Is was the name of that filly.
Dream It Is. And, yeah, so it wasn't that long.
There you go. 27.
Who's on after me?
Flavian Pratt.
He's really chatty, so be careful. You may need a lot of time to play. He's big fan.
He did. Well, not just Sunday. He had the
pretty good job.
Yeah, the big weekend. Yes, he is. Andy, a quick note. We do have two-year-old racing at Churchill.
We do.
And Thursday.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, anything catch your eye yet? You got the.
Well,
I think you got the first
Thursday,
run happy, right?
Thursday, there's a run happy, right? Is it Thursday?
Yes, a Maryland bred of all things. Yes.
Yeah, and yes. Friday. You know what, sire? Nick Tamro pointed this out to me tonight. I'd forgotten about this horse. There's a runner on Friday from Spicester. Do you remember Spicester specifically?
Yeah, of course.
I had forgotten all about it.
He stands in Maryland.
Do you remember? Who trained him?
Yeah.
Who trained him? Don't look it up.
Ooh. I'm not. Relax.
Okay, tell me one
Don't
race
look it
he
up.
Won. Tell me one race he won and one horse he beat. Do you remember him? You're not allowed to lie.
I mean, I remember.
I'm going to call you.
You're unbelievable. Honest to God.
There's a first year on Thursday from Not This Time. That was Dale's horse, right? They got hurt after running second in the Half Williams map, right? And there's the run happy. There's another Spicer. Tamar Coos. Wow, a lot of freshman sires in here, huh?
Well, that's what we look forward to.
Spicer was
right?
Bill
I mean,
Mott.
That's the...
Spicer was Bill Mott, and he won his first three starts with big figures. I think he ran a 90, then like a 99, then he ran a 104 when he won the wire, and he drowned Texas Red in Texas Red's comeback, first race, I think, since the Breeders' Cup. And then he came back a year later in the Churchill Downs Handicap, and he didn't run at all, and he only made four starts. But he was really, he had a lot of potential. First run happy. That's pretty cool. And Mac owns it.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. And he's a Maryland.
We'll probably talk about that in the show. I could be wrong, but I think that's going to come up on the show. having a Karnak moment, you know, where I'm envisioning the future. All right, listen. You've got 20 minutes left in the show, and a man who won six races should get more time than man who hasn't picked six winners in 2020.
That's not true. You've picked your share. Don't be ridiculous. Well, anyway, we're going to look forward to Thursday.
My share may be very small. According to Twitter, that's one of my favorite things that idiots say. He's never picked a winner. Well, nobody's never picked a winner. Right? I mean, nobody's never picked a winner. There are actual idiots that have said that in arguments. He's never picked a winner. Never. Never.
We're going to look forward to Thursday.
What?
And
me too.
The broadcast.
I know. I'm thrilled.
The broadcast.
I'm going to be out at Belmont on Saturday, actually.
Oh, yeah? You're going to do the show from there?
I have to go out there.
Love it.
I'm not
excellent.
Sure I can tell you why.
It's excellent.
A secret why. It's a secret mission. I may not be able to release it here on the Steve Pick Show. If I could, I would, but I'm not sure I can.
Well, all right. Well, if
but I'll be there.
Excellent.
I want Maggie to come out and join me. I miss Maggie. We were having fun on the show on Saturday, texting each other during the show. It felt like we were together. Maggie had a great call on Sunday. She picked that grand motion horse. And, you know, she did what Maggie does that nobody else does. Nobody else does it. And, you know, there was that grand motion horse in the turf race that hadn't run, I think Mott had it, but hadn't run since, I think, this is the fall at Belmont, and run twice and run abysmally on the dirt. Might have been rained off a second. And she said, you know, I've had in my notes that when I've seen this horse in Saratoga, Belmont, this horse is definitely a turf horse. The horse won and paid a huge price, right?
Yeah, paid handsomely.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something that Maggie does. That just, you know, that's you know, that's something that she brings to the table that really, I mean, she does a number of things in general that separate her from other people and make her really a gold standard in her job. But that's something that, you know, she's it's not the first time she's done it. But, you know, and Stephen, the other thing is, you know, you have to be careful being that result oriented, especially in what she's trying to do. You know, if a horse like that runs third at 30-1, she's given out that. Frankly, if a horse runs eighth, she's given out valuable information because she's giving out information that we don't have. You know, handicappers can uncover
exactly.
The stuff that few can uncover what she does. We done.
Andy, I'll be watching. Yeah, no, I got Flavian standing by. And
all right, let him go. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Andy Serling, everybody. And the highlight certainly of Thursday's card is going to be right at the start with the 4.5 furlong baby races. And in fact, one of the few spots that Flavian Pratt didn't have a mount going back to the 6-win performance was in the 2-year-old race. Flavian Pratt joins us after a 10-win weekend with racing back and going at Santa Anita. Flavian, welcome back to the show, first of all, and welcome back to the racing. And pretty much a tremendous burst on the scene immediately. Well done.
That was a great week. Thank you.
You know, Flavian, one thing that I got to bring up before we talk about, you know, the rest of the Santa Anita meet going forward, you made the decision that you told Derek you didn't want to go run to Oak Lawn and, you know, chase after mounts. You wanted to, you know, let this situation ride out. Talk about, you know, the decision-making process about not traveling.
Well, at the time, I just didn't feel like I just didn't feel comfortable traveling. Plus, I've got a young daughter at home, so I was concerned about that. I mean, I didn't want to travel and then, you know, coming back and then get her sick. I mean, it was more for her than for me, actually.
Well, it feels like you made a smart decision too, and you know it's pretty rare that you would obviously have this kind of an opportunity without an injury to take time off, and you know talk about you know what you did during the time off to stay in shape and to stay mentally fresh and ready to win 10 races in 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first week I kind of raced myself, and my brother came from France. I kind of enjoy is, you know, I got and then after that, yeah, I got a bike at home, so I rode my bike pretty much all day long because there was not much else to do, so that's what we did.
How do you stay, you know, mentally focused and is it one of those things that the minute you go out there and get on a few horses in the morning, your timing and your ability to, you know, take mounts in the afternoon is immediately right back, right there?
I don't know. I mean, I've been watching a lot of races. Sometimes, you know, they kind of keep you, mentally there, and it's always good to have a break as well. You know, sometimes you riding every day, you create a lot of habit, but you can create good habit and bad habit as well. So, you know, I feel good when I get a little break.
And that's, you know, that's going to be to the benefit, obviously, the rest of the season. For you going forward, let's turn to the weekend. And, you know, when you looked at the calls that Derek had lined up for you, what were your thoughts?
Well, we thought we had some good mounts. I didn't expect to win six on Sunday. But, I mean, we thought we had some good mounts. We thought Margaret had some good mount for us. Collision Illusion, I thought he could run a good race. I didn't expect him to run that good, but I thought he could run a good race. Then there was Sweep in the Calibrate Stakes. Winning a second time out in the stakes, I thought it was a great run too. And Bella Fina, she ran a race that was kind of the race that we were expecting from her.
Well, when you won, it's funny you say you don't necessarily, you never expect to win six. You can look even if you knew, you know, that you had a lot of live mounts, a lot of things have to happen. But it is funny how often. Over the years, Flavian, when I've talked to people, I remember when Johnny Velasquez won, did he win six or seven? That's Saratoga. Ramon won six. It's funny, you win a second one, and then, you know, you know all of a sudden things just really click, and you just get into a certain kind of a zone, and every decision you make and your vision, I mean, it's just one of those funny things that when a jock is dialed in, right, it all just, it's sort of a path is laid out for you no matter what kind of horse you're on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always good to win the first race. When you win the first race, then you get that momentum and that confidence for the rest of the day. So usually winning the first race, it's always a good sign. But how many times I get to the jockey's room and I think I can win two, three races, and you go home, you get lucky if you win one.
That's the flip side when you've got a big expectation and nothing goes the way you were hoping.
Exactly.
Talk about the two stake winners. Let's talk about them because you won with the filly against the boys. We talked to Mark Glatt yesterday. She's a really nice filly.
Yeah, she ran a great race. Didn't show much speed. She showed a lot of speed first time out. Not exactly the same speed last week, but that was great. I mean, she took the kickback really well. She was really professional, and then she really digged in to get past the horse in front of us. Because turning form. I wasn't sure I was gonna win. And she really digged in, so I thought that was a great race. And that was really nice, especially second time out. You know, it's always the hardest race to win.
Well, we're going to look forward to her. And Mark was delighted with that performance. And then came Bella Fini, you already mentioned. And I suppose we should fold in Glatt and Collusion Illusion, an 89 buyer for him. And it looks like he's headed back toward the stake environment as well. And then Bella Fina, that seemed to, you know, you must have known right away going in. And as soon as she, you know, as soon as she put a you put the request in for her to run, she was just explosive. And that was a good sign after, you know, after the performance at Oaklawn.
Yeah, no, she, yeah, that was a good run. She, right away from the, at Brazil a week ago, and she was doing excellent. She went really nice, so I was pretty confident going to that race. She warmed up great, and she broke fine. I mean, it was good enough for her. And then after that, she put me in the right spot, and you know, she did the rest, I guess.
Well, you, I mean, I'm looking up and down, and of the six winners, three were favorites and three were not. So, you know, when you're elevating the horses that that aren't favored, that, you know, that means a lot. And you know, looking back to Friday, you had that 25 claimer we talked to Mark about. Mark was just as happy, it seemed, to win that first race on Friday with Oh Marvelous Me. He was happy with you getting up in that race.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, first time on that horse, but it was actually a great ride. Did everything right, and yeah, no, it was actually a fun ride. I was really happy as well.
I love it. Well, and of course, you opened the whole season with the win for Peter Miller on She's So Special, and now things you know, proceed. You got so many you know, so many top mounts. I do have to mention, before we talk about any other horses going forward, tell everybody, Flavian, about what was going on at home with your dad and with your brother and the wins back home, because it was a big weekend for all the Pratts.
Yeah, no, my dad and my brother, they worked together, and they had so they reopened races on the 11th, and they won like four or five races, and they actually I woke up earlier this morning, and they actually won another one today. So, yeah, they're doing really good. So it's really nice.
It's pretty crazy. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the famille Pratt, they take home 15 wins between the three of you.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It doesn't happen often, so we get to enjoy that.
Absolutely. What about the one that the ones that you've been, you know, the one we talked about last year? You had the nice standard bred that you, the horse that you bred yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's retired now.
She retired.
She's in form right now. Yeah, she's retired. But I've got a new one. He ran third. I think it was what, 2 weeks ago, and he's gonna run in a couple of days. So he's gonna run in the stakes. I don't think he's quite ready to win, but he ran a good race the other day, so we're going to try that race.
I love it. Well, give us. Let's talk about a couple of the big horses from the last few weeks, and you did, you know, that closing weekend at Oaklawn, you did make that trip, Venetian Harbor, she ran well. It looked... I thought it looked a little bit Flavian, like she doesn't necessarily want to go that far. That maybe, you know, 7/8 to a mile is more her thing.
Yeah, you're probably right. I thought she ran a great race. She hasn't run for you know, she had about two months prior to her last race. So, you know, she might get a little tired. I wish she would have relaxed a little bit earlier. She dropped the bit on the backside. I wish she would drop the bit going into the first turn. It probably will give me a little bit more space to get a breather. But I thought it was a good run. I mean, she's probably got beat by a good filly as well. I mean, there was there was, you know, both of us and the rest of the field. So I thought it was a good run no matter what.
Well, let's see. You also had in the Arkansas Derby. You had Storm the Court. Not sure why. I haven't heard from Peter Ertin yet. What were your thoughts about where they stand right now with Storm the Court?
Well, that was disappointing. Just didn't run a good race. I guess Peter's gonna give him a break. He's gonna check him out and give him a break. And they're going to think about what they're going to do next. But, that was not a good run at all. I was hoping for a better run. But, you know, even if you don't win, you can run a good second or third or whatever. But it was just not quite a good run for him.
Well, meanwhile, you and Derek undoubtedly, you know, keeping your eyes focused toward another Derby horse, and give us a feel, not just Derby horse, but now we've got, by the way, the Belmont Stakes officially has been set for June 20th, and they are going to run it at a mile and an eighth. So we do have, as sort of anticipated, a decision from NYRA on the Belmont that just was released, Dave Grenick. You know, who have you been getting on that you're excited about? The Santa Anita Derby a few weeks away.
Well, as of right now, there's nothing official. I don't really know what I'm gonna ride in a derby yet. Like you said, we are looking a different option, but as of right now, there's nothing really official.
Well, we're not worried about you getting the kind of mount that could put you in position to win another Derby coming up this week. Just looking ahead to Friday, Flavian. You've got it's funny, you got five mounts for five different outfits. You're riding for Peter Ertin and Leo Powell, Kristen Mulhall and Michael McCarthy, and Manuel Marquez. Mm-hmm. You got Rocky Causeway, maiden special opportunity in the nightcap on Friday, Calbred. First-time starter. So maybe watch Giants Causeway. We'll watch for that. Giant Causeway Calbred. How about that? Well, Flavian, brilliant, brilliant start to the rebooted season at Santa Anita. Stay safe. Continued success.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too. Flavian Pratt, everybody. And we close out with confirmation of what had been speculated. Mile and an eighth, $1 million Belmont Stakes. On my father's 91st birthday, June 20th. There we go. So, what do we got? Saturday's the 23rd, so gives everybody 3 weeks, 4 weeks to plan. We'll see reaction tomorrow. See how it sets with people. I'm sure, you know, they'll be the usual traditionalist squawkings, but it's not a year where tradition is going to hold sway. Want to thank John Himes and John Lease. Cameron Beatty also, who spent a lot of time with John Mazza. Brad Cox, Dr. Stephen Allday, Andy Serling, and Flavian Pratt. Good luck if you're playing. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.